Shabbos is Parshas HaChodesh, which is a very important kriya from Parshas Bo that we're going to read. And actually, this Shabbos is not only Parshas HaChodesh, it's actually Rosh Chodesh. And we're going to read the Pesukim, and if you want to follow the text, it's right behind you. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. The El Aron, the Eretz Mitzrayim Limor, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodoshim, Rishon Hu, L'chol Lachem, L'chodesh HaShon. So you see very clearly that Chodesh Nisan has a special status. It's called, in the Torah, Rosh Chodoshim, the head of all the months. Now Rashi, at the very beginning of Chumash, quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, and the Ramban also in Parshas Bo says, "Zu mitzvah rishona shetziva Kadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael al yidei Moshe." So the first tziva that Klal Yisrael get through Moshe is Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, and that mitzvah is given to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Mitzrayim, and the rest of the mitzvah, says the Ramban, are given at Har Sinai. But Rashi offers two different explanations for what is the content of this mitzvah. What does it mean, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh? So the first pshat in Rashi is Her'ehu HaLivana, not Livena, Livana B'chidushah. He shows Moshe Rabbeinu the waxing moon, and he says that kishereach mischadish, when you see this sliver of the moon, yelecha rosh chodesh. So the first dimension of the mitzvah is to identify the moon as the new moon and establish rosh chodesh. Then Rashi says that there's another dimension to this mitzvah of rosh chodesh, and that's specifically with regard to Chodesh Nisan. That this should be the first of your sequence of counting the months. That Iyar should be considered the second month, and Sivan the third month. So according to Rashi, this pasuk of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem generates two different mitzvahs. The first mitzvah, which is Pshuto Shel Mikra, that this should be the first of the months, right? Rosh Chodashim. So all the other 11 months will follow second, third, and fourth. And then there's a mitzvah of Bezdin being Makadish the Chodesh by accepting testimony that they saw the new moon. The Ramban in his Pirish Al HaTorah in Parshas Bo asks the question, why is it so important that this month, the month of Nisan, be considered the first month of the entire year? And the Ramban's answer is because this is the way the Torah wanted to give us the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban says that the reason why it's so important to count the months of the year from Chodesh Nisan is that we should always be remembering the Nes, the great miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And how do we remember that? Because we say, this is the second month, this is the third month, meaning we're counting from the month of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So now we have a remez in the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh for the fact that the moon is mischadish, right? The moon re-energizes itself, and it appears over and over again in the sky. And now we have a Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says that the Rosh Bezdin would declare Mekudosh, and the people would respond by saying Mekudosh, Mekudosh. So we want to understand, what is the connection between the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Yitzias Mitzrayim? Is there some sort of an inner or more profound connection between the two? Now, this part of the essay here is going to discuss the connection between, and this may come as a surprise, Chodesh Nisan and Chodesh Tishrei. And he bases himself on one of the great Hasidic giants, Rabbi Baruch Mimezburz, and he says the following. When it says in the Korban Pesach, for Chodesh Nisan, it says, Vavadita Es havoda zos bechodesh hazeh. Now notice the word hazeh. Okay? And it means that this is a reference to Chodesh Tishrei. And why? So again, let's look at this pasuk again. This is supposed to be given. It says, Vavadatas havoda hazos. And then it says, Vachodesh hazeh. The word zos is a cryptic, shall we say, symbolic word. And it points to another word, zos, that refers to Yom HaKippurim. And there, in Parashas Achrimos, it says, Bezos Yovo Aaron al HaKodesh. Now, obviously, what's the purpose of Aaron entering into the Kodesh on Yom HaKippurim? Don't all answer at once. To create what? To bring what for Klal Yisrael?
Kapara,
right. So then the month of Zos, which is the month of Tishrei, is clearly singled out as the month of Kapara, correct? Of Tshuva and Kapara. And now we're taking the word Zos in the context of the Avodah of the Korban Pesach and saying that that too is considered like HaChodesh HaZeh. In other words, it's considered like the month of the Avodah of Zos, of Bezos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. So basically, when we're looking for chametz and getting rid of chametz during the month of Nisan, what does that chametz symbolize? So it's very famous in the name of the Zohar that chametz is a symbol for what? The Yetzer Hara, you guessed it. And the reason for that is because the chametz is machmitz, it's fermented, it's blown up. So on Pesach, which is the time that's designated and dedicated for bir chametz, for getting rid of the power of the Yetzer Hara, that's an Eis Ratzon to completely destroy and eradicate the Yetzer Hara. And it's fascinating that one of the great Bali Halacha of 5 centuries ago, the Radbaz, which you see on the top left column, he writes, in fact, that the Torah views chametz and Pesach as a symbol for the Yetzer Hara. It's the Sa'ar Shebe'isa that the Gemara refers to in many places. And therefore, we got to get rid of this Sa'ar Shebe'isa. We have to look in every nook and cranny of our thoughts and our feelings and completely obliterate the chametz, and that's going to be the process of tshuva. So we now have a parallel between the month of Nisan, which is a month in which we have to get rid of all the chametz, all the Yetzer Hara, and B, it's the month in which we bring the Korban Pesach, and in the month of Tishrei, which is the month of Yom Kippur and Tshuva and Kapara. So therefore, it's really critical that we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's what Chag HaPesach is all about, but not so much the Shibud HaGuf, the fact that Hashem took us physically and freed us from the yoke of Mitzrayim, but that's not enough. We have to also remember the Shibud HaNefesh, like the Zohar is famous for saying that in Mitzrayim we went down to the 49th level of Tumah. And now God takes us out of Mitzrayim, gives us an opportunity, slowly but surely, to do Tshuva and Kapara. And this has to begin in the month of Nisan, but it really should spill over throughout the entire year. So every month, second, third, fourth, is counted to the month of Nisan, because it's influenced by this Avodah, the Avodah HaZos, which is the month of Nisan, that parallels the month of Tishrei. So Bachodesh HaZeh, in this month of Nisan, we do Avodah HaZos, the Avodah of Tshuva, which is so typical of the Kohen Gadol, of Aaron HaKohen going into the Kodesh Kedoshim to bring Kapara. Nisan also imposes upon us a responsibility to destroy all the physical chametz, but even more important, to destroy the spiritual chametz, that's the Yetzer Hara, and to rededicate ourselves to the mitzvahs of Hashem. And that is the remez in the Pasuk HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, that this month of Nisan, insofar as it's dedicated to cleanse us, a personal self-cleansing experience of destroying the Yetzer Hara, that has to spill over and impact on the entire year. That's Rosh Chodeshim. And basically, at the beginning of every month, a person has to rededicate himself with new energy to tshuva, to cleansing himself from all chet. And that's because every single Rosh Chodesh is me'ein. It's a little bit of a similar duplicate of the Chodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim of the Chodesh of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Chodesh Nisan. And here, if you'll turn to the other side of your page, he writes that there's a Mishnah, a very cryptic Mishnah in the third parak of Avos. It says, Hachanut ptucha, hachenvanim akif, hapinkas patuach, hayad kotevet, v'chol arotzel lavos, yilve, yovo v'yilve. Very strange. The money changer is open for business, and if you want to buy certain foods, you can buy it on credit, and the ledger is going to write down that you owe a certain amount of money, and if anybody wants to borrow, anyone is free to borrow. Like, what's the Mishnah trying to convey to us? So if Shimshon Shapiro, who lived 5 centuries ago and authored a book called Megala Amukos, claims that this phrase Hachanut Ptucha has to be understood in the light of the Zohar, that during the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, the tzaddikim come forward and they serve as the, how do you say in English, sanigoria, the defense attorneys for Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting, the tzaddikim the whole year round are in...
They're
basking in Gan Eden. But on 2 months of the year, they come out of Gan Eden, they look down at the earth itself, they see that the Klal Yisrael are... Unfortunately, not 100%, but the Klal Yisrael have certain mice and tov, certain mitzvahs. They come in front of the Kisei HaKavod, these tzaddikim, the neshamas of these tzaddikim, and they pray on our behalf. Now, again, that doesn't mean we don't have to pray. We still have an obligation to pray. That's one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yadas. But nevertheless, the Chanut Ptucha. Chanut is no trikin for Chodesh Nisan ve Chodesh Tishrei. Okay, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it means during these 2 months, which are dedicated, as we said before, to tshuva, to bir hara, to get rid of all the evil, these are the 2 months in which hachanut ptucha, meaning the Gan Eden is open, the Nosham Tzadik will come forward, and they come in front of the Kisei HaKovet. And, you know, Chazal say in the Medrash is very famous that even though tefillah, sometimes it could go through, the gates are open, sometimes unfortunately the gates are closed, but Shari Tshuva...
That's when they may have to go to the Olah Lekever.
Maybe being Olah Lekever is to after Tzadikim to pray on our behalf.
Before Nisan is the minute.
Before Nisan, that's when my wife is
born. Yeah, not on Nisan itself.
No, right?
Yeah, maybe now we should. So let's just try to understand this Megala and Muko. So we just want to get this piece of the puzzle as a Dovah Sholem. He says, Hachanut Ptucha, which is, as we said before, an allusion to Nisan and Tishrei. The Shari Tshuva are open in a way that now the Tzaddikim, the Neshamas Tzaddikim, enter into the Shari Tshuva and they plea on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Now, what exactly is the content of their supplication? If we didn't do tshuva, it's not going to help. So the answer is hachenvani makif. Makif means he buys on credit. Now, Kosh Baruch Hu extends credit to Klal Yisrael, and he says to them, you know what? We're going to sign a document. We're going to enter into an agreement. You're going to be relieved of your guilt, so to speak, of your punishment on a temporary basis until you could actually pay up this debt. But in the meantime, we're going to stave off the punishment and delay the punishment. And the month of Nisan is called the month of Yeshuot Bo Makifot. Makifot means to pay on credit. And then the Mishnah goes on in Avos and says, Apinkas Patuach Ayad Koseves. So it means that the Malve, the one who's lending, which in this case is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is writing it all down in a ledger. Anybody can come along and receive this loan, but at the end of the day it's recorded and you'll have to pay back. So you have to eventually, you know, do tikkun, and that's what the month of Nisan is all about, to do these tikkunim and get rid of the chametz, as we said before. Oh. Now, in the light of this introduction, we could possibly begin to analyze the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Very, very cryptic Gemara. The Gemara records a conversation, a dialogue, between Rebbe and Reb Chiya. So Gershon, if you're joining us now, we're on the bottom of page 2 on the right side. Okay, just... Okay, then I don't want to slow us down because we started about 15 minutes ago. Amalei Rebbe L'Reb Chiya. The Gemara records a strange dialogue between Rebbe and Rav Chia. Zeal, I want you to go to a certain place. The name of this place is called Ein Tav. Okay, we'll have to ask the archaeologists if they know where Ein Tav is today. Okay, maybe they do know. And there I want you to look for the new moon. V'kadshei l'yarcha. There's going to be a bezdin there that sits in this place called Ein Tav. And you're going to present testimony to this bezdin. And they will be Makadesh the Chodesh. Vishalachli Simone. Once you accomplish that goal, please send me back a message, like a code message. And what's the code message? David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kam. You may remember.
We said it in the Kiddush Lubavitch.
Exactly. This is the source, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, tells his colleague, Rav Chia, the great Rav Chia, to go to a place called Ein Tav. Ein Tav means Ayin Tova, good eye. That's the name of the place. And there to be Makadish the Chodesh. And tell me that you did so and you accomplished the goal by sending me this cryptic message, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kaim. Says Rashi, David Melech Yisrael Nimshal Kilevana. Now, even though all of Klal Yisrael as a whole are compared to the moon, but there's this very specific way in which David HaMelech is compared to the moon. David HaMelech, after all, represents the entire nation of Israel, and therefore he, in a very profound way, is an embodiment, so to speak, a human form of the concept called the Levana, meaning the moon. And in fact, David HaMelech himself in Tehillim describes himself as Kisel Kishemesh Negdi Kireach Yechavin Olam. As if to say that I am similar to the Levana. So one of the greats, his name was Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolios. He wrote many, many different Sfarim, absolute amazing Sfarim. Anyway, in his book called Shari Ephraim, he says that he heard from one of his great Rebbeim that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, if you add it up, forget, I didn't have a time to do this, I don't have a calculator, is the same gematria as Rosh Chodesh. So the sum connection here between David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim and Rosh Chodesh. And Tosus writes, why was he commanded to go to Ein Tav to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, which means to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh? And here's the language of Tosus. Zil le'ein tav v'kidshei sham hayukovim le'kadesh kvuim le'kadesh es ha'chodesh. There was a bezdin kavua that was specifically, singularly dedicated to this mitzvah of being Mekadesh the Chodesh. And in Bezdin, we need a Bezdin Kavua in order to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. And that status of a Bezdin Kavua is identical with Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. It's like teaching Torah. And, you know, you're allowed to blow the shofar on, even if Shabbos, let's say, coincides with Rosh Hashanah, in a Bezdin Kavua. So that place called Ein Tav has a status of a Bezdin Kavua. For example, in Yavne, which is another famous location here in Eretz Yisrael, there they had a Bezdin Kavua, and they would blow the shofar on Shabbos, even on Shabbos. So let's try to understand. David HaMelech is compared to the moon. But why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh ask of Rabbi Chia to notify him on Kiddush HaChodesh with this simon, with this code word? Why didn't he just tell him, do me a favor, send me a message, so send me a telegraph, that Kidashnu Es HaChodesh? Why did he feel compelled to couch it in these terms of David HaMelech, these hidden, you know, terms? And furthermore, why did Beis Din have to be established as a Beis Din Kavua dafka in a place called Ein Tav, Ayin Tova? What's the connection between Ayin Tova and Kiddush HaChodesh? Okay, so let's just summarize our questions, and now we're going to really start the shiur for today. Our questions are the following. We have a mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to read this in Mitzvah Shem in just a few days on Shabbos on Shabbos of Chodesh, Parshas HaChodesh. And what's interesting about this mitzvah is that we have to look at the new moon when it reemerges, we'll call it, when it waxes, and we have to go to a Beis Din and be Mekadesh LeChodesh. But for some reason, Rabbi Chiya was sent by Rebbe Dafka to a place called Ayin Tova, Ein Tav. There, in that Moshav, he had a Beis Din Kavua, and he would be Mekadesh LeChodesh. Why? Why did this place, any place where Beis Din is Kavua, they could do it? Furthermore, we're bothered by the fact that he asked him to send him back a cryptic message, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom. And we don't understand why this whole process of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem is such a great mitzvah. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah of Levana, of Kiddush HaLevana, and to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. So from this point and on, we're going to discuss a very strange statement in Chazal. This statement in Chazal appears in more than one place. And it goes back to the creation of the moon. At the time that God created the moon, he also created the sun. And he said, Vayasa Elokim Shnei Ma'oros, two Ma'oros. One is called the Ma'or HaGadol, and the other is called the Ma'or HaKatan. So the Gemara tells us in Masech Techulin, in the name of Rav Shimon ben Pazi, that the Ireach, that the Levana came forward in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, oh, this is not good. How can two kings simultaneously serve as kings over the same province? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Levana after this argument and says to the Levana, Lechi uma'atiyas atzmech. You should become the Ma'ara Katan. Honey, I shrunk the moon, I guess you'd call it. Amal Lefanav, and she says to Ribbono Shel Olam, Holvi Amarti Lefanecha Dover Hagun Amit Etz Atzmi. Now you don't know how to read that. You can read it in one of two ways. Either it's a kind of a question, you know, because I said to you the right thing, therefore I have to get punished and I have to be shrunk. Or perhaps he meant, you know, I really understand what you're saying. Since my argument was a good one, therefore I have to become small. The Gemara goes on and tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Levana, like as if to say, don't worry, you know, you might get very insulted and sensitive because I shrunk you, but you know what? Lechi u'meshol b'yom u'balayla, meaning that the moon can also be seen during the day, but primarily at night. Not only that, Klal Yisrael, I want to comfort you, will count the days and the months and the years based on a lunar calendar. And furthermore, we're going to call you a small one, but you're not in bad company because Yaakov is called Hakatan, Shmuel is called Hakatan, David Hakatan. In other words, to be in a sense humble is a good thing. But Chazi Delokam is mitzvah daite. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that even after all these comforting words, the Areach was still very anxious about this, was not very happy. So there was no Yishuv Hadas. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now God says, I see that maybe, again, I'm going to say this in a very coarse way, and we'll have to spend a lot of time brushing up on this, but God says, you know what, I see I did the wrong thing. I was memayt to Yireach. And now I need a kapara. God says, I need an atonement. And Rav Shimon ben Lakish, the great Reish Lakish, says that the sa'ir, the goat that's brought on Rosh Chodesh, which is the entire parasha in Pinchas, where it says, sa'ir izim echad lechatos. Why is there a carbon chatos, a sin offering, that's being brought on Rosh Chodesh? Says Reish Lakish Lashem, God is bringing this kapara. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sa'ir zeh yeh kapara al shemi'atiti es ha'yireach. This is unbelievable.
It is.
And the Gemara in Shavuos even extends this and says, Manishtana Sa'ir shel Rosh Chodesh shenever bo l'Hashem. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sa'ir zeh yeh kapara al shemi'atiti. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sa'ir zeh yeh kapara shemi'atiti es ha'levana. And the Mesoras HaShas says that we don't have any way of understanding this Gemara. It's all sod Mesoras HaKabbalah. And basically, what he's asking is, how could Hashem sin? And to whom did he sin? And why should he bring a kapara? And to whom should he bring a kapara? And usually a kapara is a praklit, meaning it's a defense attorney. Who's going to be the defense attorney? And not only that, God is the creator, he's perfect. We have one of the principles of the faith is Kael Emunah Vein Avel. How could he be guilty of a sin? But yet, Chazal, you know, brought this whole story and this whole drasha in the Gemara itself. If it was brought in the Zohar, so you could say, alright, I can only understand that I'll be Kabbalah. But it's brought in the Gemara, so there must be some way of understanding it. Now we move on to page 3. So what does it mean that God has to bring a kapara? After all, he's perfect. And not only that, if HaKadosh Baruch indeed agreed to the Levana, then why was he memayit the Levana? It sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the argument of the Levana. What's so bad about being memayit the Levana? Really, in this situation, that's exactly what has to be done. And how could the moon declare Hova Mighty Fanecha Dover Hagun Amitis Atzmi? That doesn't make any sense. If it's a Dover Hagun, if it's a good argument, then why should that, in a sense, prosecute against the Levana, and therefore God has to shrink the Levana? The whole story makes no sense. So in order to present some sort of a thesis and unlock the mystery here, the Shvili Pinchas is going to quote two major sources. And he's going to combine the two together. The first major source is called the Zera Kodesh from Rab Naftoli Tzvi Mirupshitz. And he says the following. In fact, when the Levana says Dover Hagun and the Atati is Atzmi, that she herself wanted to become smaller, this was an Aver Lishma, which is a mind-boggling concept. Are you familiar with the concept of Aver Lishma? That sometimes you can do a sin.
In the beginning of Xus.
About Yael, maybe?
Yeah, it's not there.
Or about David Melch, I don't know who it's referring to. But anyway, sometimes you do a sin, which you're not allowed to do, but you do it for a good purpose.
I feel the time myself.
Okay.
I heard the term in English, Rabbi, the wrong thing for the right reason.
Okay, very good. So that's Aver Lishma. What did the Levana try to accomplish here? What was her Lishma in that sense? So Rav Naftoli Tzvi says the following. He says, Shehei Adam Tirutz Yeli Adam Tirutz Al Cheto. The moon wanted to offer some sort of an alibi, an excuse for man who sins. Now here's the mystical part, which I cannot explain. He writes that the neshama of a human being passes through the same cycle as the moon. And the moon gets larger and then it gets smaller, waxes and wanes. All that is indicative of some sort of a chet process. And the human neshama goes through also those ups and downs because of the chet. Now, as a result of the fact that the moon goes down, when man sins, he doesn't lose hope, because even when the moon wanes, what do we know about the moon? It's going to come back and wax again, right? So this was the kavana tova of the moon. The moon had a good purpose. The moon wanted to say, I'm going to sin, by arguing against God, you know, that I should be as great how could I share with the sun, whatever it is. And then God is going to be memayit the moon, which is all great, because that's going to indicate that that the neshamos of Bnei Adam, even though they sin and they go down, but nevertheless, there is a possibility of tshuva and kapara, and therefore they can go back up again, they can wax again. Okay, now what's going to happen here is we're going to introduce another major source and put the two together. This is the Arugos HaBosem.
Who is that?
His name is Grunwald. He was the Popov of a Rebbe. Okay? From, if you know anyone from Popov. Do you heard of Popov? Okay. Well, Popov, I think, is Hungary, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm saying Hungarian.
Yeah.
From the 20th century?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the early 20th century. I think he was gone before the Shoah, but yeah. He writes, Ki tachlit mi'ut or alfanai kidei lamed Yisrael she'efshal litaken et kol apgadmin b'tshuva. The purpose of diminishing the size of the moon is to teach Klal Yisrael that even though they have pgamim, they have, you know, bad strikes against them and sins, they can still do tshuva. And that's why when we go out to recite the bracha on the new moon, we declare Poel Emes Shepuloso Emes Ulavona Omer Shetischadish Ateres Tiferes Lamute Bote, that God does truth, and He guaranteed that the moon would be able to be mischadish; it would be able to wax again. And that's a promise for the benefit of Hamusei Bata, means Ateres Tiferes is Klal Yisrael. Because just like the moon is Mischadish, so too Klal Yisrael will be Mischadish. So God creates the moon in a way that the light of the moon will be diminished, until finally the moon will reach the point of almost completely darkness. It's absolutely disappeared. It's in the darkness of the sky. And then all of a sudden, it begins to get light, and Mosifa Voleches L'Schadish Ka'or Bishonah goes back to its original full illumination. And that is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. They are counted by the lunar calendar because they are like the moon. And every member of the Jewish people has to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, he has to introspect, he has to begin to analyze. How could it be that he got so dark, so to speak? In other words, he did not fulfill his obligations vis-a-vis various ethical principles and spirituality and so forth. And then when he asks himself all these questions with his sincere introspection, he'll finally come to a state, he might get depressed about it, but if he looks at the moon, he'll get encouraged by the moon, because the moon is going to tell him that even though I, meaning the moon, reached its lowest level of pure darkness and it completely disappeared, nevertheless it's going to be mischadish and its light will be restored like it was originally. And that's called Poel Emes Shepuloso Emes. Emes means Dobra Miskayim. So, you know, we're looking at the moon and we know that it's going to wane away. So is that called a Dobra Miskayim? But the answer is yes, because even if it wanes away, it will wax again and it'll be mischadish again. And that's the message of hope and faith for all of Klal Yisrael, that we are Ateres Tiferes Zemutei Vaten. We are also Asidim L'Schadish. Now, in the Golus, in the exile, with our sins and everything, we may have reached the lowest of the low. You know, we don't even know if tomorrow we'll have a government or not. And yet we have to realize that it may take 6 months, but it'll be Mischadish, and there'll be a Chidush here, like the Levana. And that's called Emes. Emes means some kium, it has an existence to it, it will continue to exist. In fact, God gives us a promise, which is derived from a very cryptic pasuk in Yeshaya Novi. He says, Vahaya or halavona ka'or hachama, that the light of the sun will be like the light of the moon. What does that mean? So we say, Chazal say, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'malos es pegimas halavona, that God eventually will complete that which is deficient, that's lacking in the levona. And that has tremendous symbolic meaning, because what it does is it tells us that ultimately the cause of darkness and the waning moon is the Yetzer Hara. That's what's getting the doing the worst for us. But Lasid Lavo, God's going to bring the Yetzer Hara, there's a Gemara in Sukkah, and shecht it in front of the tzaddikim, and the Yetzer Hara is going to be completely eradicated. And then we don't have to learn Derech Tshuva from the Levana. We no longer have to look at the Levana and learn how we have to do Tshuva because we reached that low state of darkness and we need to be Mechadish ourselves. But instead, Yemalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moon will be as glorious and as great as the sun. always illuminating, without waxing and waning, but always waxing. And that's because in Liyosid Lavo, we will be able to overcome the Yetzirah, completely vanquish the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah will be slaughtered in the presence of the Tzaddikim. And now if we connect this back to the idea that we had before from the Zera Kodesh of the Rav Shitzur, it's really all the same. Both the presentation of the Zera Kodesh as well as the insight of the Arukas HaBosem are telling us that the Levana meant for the good of Israel, for the good of Klal Yisrael, that if a person sins, he should still have faith and optimism that he will be like the Levana that is Mischadish. And therefore the Koach of sin and Yetzirah is not an absolute Koach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Mamayit the Levana. And why? So the Klal Yisrael should learn from the Levana. Look at the Levana. Isn't this what we always have in mind when we go out for Kiddush Levana? Well, if we don't, that's what we have to have in mind from now on. Okay, we have to be makabel on ourselves, a new kabbalah b'lineder, that from now on, wherever we see the Levana b'chidusha, we have to thank Hashem that we too have the possibility of being mechadish ourselves, that we have a responsibility to imitate the moon, and to realize that when the moon starts waning, we are getting darker and darker because of our iniquities and our sins and our deficiencies. But we have to realize that we have to dedicate ourselves to tshuva. And this is going to tie us back to the beginning of our discussion. Why the first mitzvah in the Torah is Kiddush HaLevana, Kiddush HaChodesh. We have to mekadesh the Chodesh. And this is going to be the month of Nisan, is the Rosh Chodeshim for all of the months. And we're going to look at the new moon, and we're going to say, this is a message to us. And the message is that we have to imitate the moon, and by doing so, we're going to be machadish ourselves, we're going to go back and do a tshuva process. So the moon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I said a davar hagun lefanecha, and then amit es atzmi, and the moon becomes smaller and diminished in order to prove and to encourage Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Klal Yisrael is going to count according to you, the moon, the lunar calendar. And there will be tzaddikim that are going to be called katan, just like you are the ma'ara katan. And all this is so that Klal Yisrael will see Eich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machshev Zalavana, that we have to understand how significant the moon is. That God, that the moon was memait its aura for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. I mean, we can begin to see why the place that Rebbe sent Rebbe Chia to be Mekadesh HaKodesh is called Ein Tav. Because the whole idea of Ein Tova means that somebody was working on our behalf. That's called an Ein Tova, when I do something for you, for your benefit, magnanimously. And who is working for our benefit? The Levana. Because the moon was willing to be Mamaitis Atzma in order to teach people the Derech HaTshuva, the way to do tshuva. The Brisa says Chazir Deloka Mitva Daite, that the Levana was not so calm about this, because maybe she wanted some greater clarity that would certainly remind Klal Yisrael they have to learn from her, from the Levana herself, Derech Tshuva. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Eviu Kapara Alai Shemiati Es Hayareach. It doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a carbon kapara because he did an avera. He did exactly what was necessary to be Mamayit the Levana, and as a result to teach Klal Yisrael how to do tshuva. But rather, and here we turn to page 4. Is also Litovas Yisrael. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was Litovas Yisrael. So what does it mean? Bring a kapara for the sins on Rosh Chodesh. He says the following, that all HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say when he said bring a kapara is that's what Klal Yisrael are required to do on Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh they have to bring a kapara. That's the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. And why? Just like the Levana was Mischadesh, and that Chidush HaLevana symbolically represents the tshuva process that brings back a person to his original pure state, and that's called Derech Tshuva. He says this will be a kapara la HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kavyoch, what does it mean la HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, it'll become clear to everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memait the Levana for the Tov of Klal Yisrael. So if we go out and we Makadish the Chodesh and we take the message of the Levana to heart, and we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memait the Levana litova shel Klal Yisrael to teach us the Derech Tshuva, then we'll achieve kapara. And what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a kapara? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any kapara. But this is a way of revealing to the world that the Areach was doing something to Tovas Klal Yisrael, and the Sayer, the karma that's brought on the occasion of the new moon is the karma that brings the kapara. That's the Tovas Klal Yisrael. That's the benefit, a great compassion for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when we say in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, Rashi Chadoshim Liamcha Nasatus Man Kaparol Lechol Todosam Biyosa Makrivim Lefenechas Zivchei Ratzon Usir Chata Lechatos Lechapel Ba'adam, it means that on Rosh Chodesh, this is a time for Kapara, and the Sa'ir that's brought as the Sa'ir Chata Lechatos is going to be the mechanism to bring us a Kapara. Rosh Chodesh is a day of Kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. And the purpose of bringing the carbon sayer as a chatos is to bring kapara for Klal Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh. What's the connection between Rosh Chodesh and kapara? The answer is that we see the Levana went down and now it goes up again. It was waning and now there's this chadshus Levana. That means it went all the way down to the lowest of the low, to the state of darkness, which symbolizes the darkness of chet, in which man falls and plummets in and gets caught in the hands of the Yitzhahara. Now is the turning point. Rosh Chodesh is going to be the turning point. And now it's going to start waxing. Now we're going to start seeing our personalities as they originally were before we were polluted and contaminated with sin. But again, all this is contingent on the fact that we take the message of the Levana to heart and we do tshuva. And now we can begin perhaps to understand why David HaMelech becomes connected to the Levana. You remember that Rebbe told Rabbi Chia, after he's Mekadesh L'Chodesh, send me the message that David, the Sima, that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Why? What does David HaMelech have to do with Kiddush HaChodesh? And the answer is that the Gemara tells us something amazing in Avodah Zarah. And that is, Lo David Royli also Meiser. David himself, if left on his own, would not have violated that Easter with Bathsheba. On the contrary, David Amel declares, V'libi halal bekirbi. But rather, this was organized and engineered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that im chata yachid, if an individual sins, what we say is, go to another individual and learn from him. And who is that other individual? That's David HaMelech. David HaMelech sinned and he did tshuva. You do the same. David HaMelech becomes the paradigm or the malame, the teacher of tshuva. And that's exactly what Rosh Chodesh is all about, to teach us tshuva. That we have within us the potential to be mechadesh and get back from darkness back to the original light. But that's only if we do tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses David HaMelech. He's going to teach us, David HaMelech, the Derech HaTshuva. Why? Because he's the Melech. And the Melech of Yisrael is in charge of the entire Tzibur. He is the lave, the heart of the Tzibur. And that's what the Rambam writes in Per Gimel Milchus Melachim, Libo, referring to the lave of the Melech, who lave kol kahal Yisrael. He encompasses within him the entire nation of Israel. And therefore, just like David HaMelech, as the king of Israel, does tshuva, so too all of Klal Yisrael are meant to do tshuva. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Dafka David HaMelech. He's going to teach the Derech Tshuva. He is the one who violated some sort of Eser but did a tremendous Tshuva. And he represents all of Klal Yisrael because Lev Kol Kahal Yisrael. That's what the Melech is. And he's teaching Tshuva for all generations. That's David HaMelech. And therefore David HaMelech becomes the symbol of David HaMelech is Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, if this be the case, then perhaps we could say the following. This mashal of David HaMelech and Yireach, just like the Yireach itself came forward with this argument against the Almighty and said that how could two kings, you know, share the same crown simultaneously? And the whole reason why she, the Levana, came forward with this argument was in order that there would be a mute of Ora. And that would be Litovas Yisrael. This was the Aver Lishma that we spoke about before. And now the Levana is going to teach us the Derech Tshuva. David HaMelech shouldn't have really sinned with Batsheva. But rather that sin was brought about Litovas Yisrael. Because David HaMelech would be the paradigm of Tshuva. He's going to teach us Tshuva. As we saw before, David HaMelech, Hikim Ola Shel Tshuva in the Lashon of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And if this be the case, we understand David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. What does it mean, Chai V'Kayim? Chai V'Kayim means it's a Kiyum. Don't think we lost it, we blew it, we're down in the dumps, we're in darkness, we're in the dredges. But no, we can come back and snap back and we still have Kiyum. And the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Mibneimad B'David Nemer Bo Shechiva. El David Sheiniach Ben Kimoso Nemer Bo Shechiva. In other words, David HaMelech leaves a legacy, and his legacy is going to teach and do tshuva. So now we begin to understand why the place that's designated for being Mekadesh LeChodesh is Ayin Tova. And the answer is, Ayin Tova means we shouldn't think that the Miut HaLevana was a punishment to Levana on Kitrug. No. It was because of her Ayin Tova. She was willing to sacrifice herself and become a second fiddle kind of luminary with diminished light. And why? For the sake of Klal Yisrael. That's called Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova is when I'm willing to sacrifice something of my own for the sake of someone else. That's the Derech Tshuva of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Derech Tshuva of Kiddush HaChodesh is the Ayin Tova of the Levana. And therefore, the Kiddush HaChodesh appropriately is going to take place, the process will take place in Ayin Tav, Ayin Tova. Because we want to mention that the Levana had an Ayin Tova, the Levana sacrificed and was willing to be diminished for the sake of Klal Yisrael to teach us the Derech HaTshuva. Therefore, we have a responsibility of tshuva on Rosh Chodesh. And we bring the Karban Kapara that we spoke about before, the Sa'ir Lechatos, to allow us to cleanse ourselves on this day of Rosh Chodesh. So the process of Chodesh, in the way we look at the Hischad Shalavana, is meant to teach us Tshuva. The special carbon we bring on Rosh Chodesh is the Soil Lechatas, is also part of the process of Tshuva. The Mir Halavana on the part of the moon was done in order to teach us Tshuva. Everything connects to the mitzvah of Tshuva, and that's HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, because if Nisan is the time of Tshuva, we spoke about Bir Chametz before, then it's got to somehow brush off on or influence all the other 11 months to be months of Tshuva. So Rebbe says to his colleague Rabbi Chia, Zil li ayin tav v'kidshe li areach v'shlach li simona David ben David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayim. And this means, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Rebbe di Osi mi David, Rebbe was a descendant of David HaMelech, Mahapech v'dorish b'schusei de David. he would look and find all sorts of explanations and excuses for what David did and try to justify David's act. He's referring to the act of Bathsheba. And what does this mean? What does the Gemara have in mind? Is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Haya Mizera, Malchus Beis David? He was descended from Malchus Beis David. Haya Tamid, Mahapech Lidrosh, Velimtzos Chus, Al Maisov, Shel David HaMelech. It means that it's not coincidental that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who gave this message and requested this message from Chia of David Melch Shel Chai V'Kayam, is a descendant of David HaMelech. He is Mizera Malchus Beis David. He's always looking for his chus, for his great-great-great-grandfather, David HaMelech. And in order to find this chus, he gives the mashal that David HaMelech is related to the Oreach. And we asked the question before, what's the relationship between David HaMelech and the Oreach? Why does David declare in Tehillim, Kiso Kishemesh Negdi Ki Oreach? Why is it Ki Oreach? And the answer is that, just like the Oreach was Noeg B'Ayin Tov for the sake of Klai, so he was willing to be Mamayit itself to teach Klai, so the Derech HaTshuva, so too David HaMelech fell prey to the Eitz HaHara and he did an Avera, and he's going to become, in a sense, the scapegoat. There's the idea of Ayin Tova, that he has an Ayin Tova, he's willing to sin in order to spend his entire life teaching the Derech HaTshuva. And if this be the case, then let's begin to understand the two mitzvahs that we began with. We said, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, according to Rashi, has two different parts to it. One is to count Nisan as the first month of the 12 months of the year. And the second mitzvah was to be Mekadesh the Chodesh when we see the Levana v'Chidusha. Both of these mitzvahs have the same goal, and that is the Derech Tshuva. The month of Nisan is a month that's dedicated to Tshuva. We have to fulfill the pasuk of Avadata Es Avoda Zos B'Chodesh HaZeh, the Avoda Zos of Kapara, of Tishrei, of the Kohen Gadol going with Naiv with him, B'Chodesh HaZeh, has to be fulfilled in the month of Nisan. We make this month into a month of Tishrei, a month of Tshuva like the month of Tishrei, and the Avoda that's incumbent upon us on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be incumbent on every single Rosh Chodesh. That's the Rosh Chodeshim. And we're always going to try to be Memale the R of the Pegimas HaLevana, which means to rectify and cleanse ourselves from all sins and contamination in order to perfect ourselves and bring us back to the Neshama Tahorish and Asata B, that perfect Neshama. This is a month, and Rosh Chodesh for sure, at the beginning of that month, that's dedicated to be okay, to clean up all the pagamim. The deficiencies, we should be elevated by Esek HaTorah, by all the mitzvahs that we have during the month of Nisan. And that, in Yitzchak Shem, will bring about the Geula. Now the last thing I want to discuss with you, in the 5 minutes or so that we have left, is the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. Because as you know, the book of Vayikra, which we're about to embark upon this coming Shabbos, is the book of Karbanos. And I have a whole long piece here from the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Vav, about his attitude towards Karbanos. And the Ramban in this week's parasha has a different attitude towards Karbanos. If we had more time, I would read to you the Hebrew translation, but the Rambam wrote it in Arabic, so I'm going to read it to you in the English translation.
That's what his name
is. And this is the University of Chicago Press, but again, the English is a little bit difficult. It's not exactly my English, but I think we'll get the main gist of it. So if we had more time, we'd go through the Hebrew. The Hebrew is a little bit more, I think, a little bit more appropriate for us, but this is what we're going to do. He says that in the book of sacrifices, which is the book of Vayikra, there's some, what he calls, reasons for these commandments. And he says, based on a Targum Unkelus, the Egyptians used to worship the sign of Aries. How do you pronounce it? A-R-I-E-S. You know, in the Zodiac.
Aries, the lamb.
Aries, the lamb, Aries, sorry. and therefore they forbade the slaughter of sheep, and they abominated shepherds. And he quotes a pasuk here, which again, if you want to follow it in the Hebrew, maybe you'll just fill in the Hebrew for me. That's on the right side. And the pasuk is in Shmos, Perek Ches, and it says that if we sacrifice the lamb, okay, Shmos, Perek Ches, you might look in pasuk Yud Chaf Beis, if you have that question. And there it says, if we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians, and every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians, which is a pasuk in Bereishis. And then he says there are certain sects of Sabaeans. Are you familiar with that? S-A-B-I-A-N?
I see.
Sabaeans, okay? And they used to worship the jinn, J-I-N-N.
The Shadim.
So jinn is some sort of shade. And they believed that they assumed the outward form of goats, that these Shadim, called jinn, would appear in the form of a goat. And this teaching was taught even by Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, in Vayikra Yudzayin, Pasuk Zayin, if you find that Pasuk, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto the Seirim, the goats. Hence, these sects are used to prohibit the eating of goats. And as for the slaughter of oxen, which means cows, nearly the majority of idol worshippers abominated it. And even to this day, I think you're talking about the Hindus. I mean, they make up a large chunk of the world population. They abominate the slaughter of cows. Hence, you'll find that up until the time of the Indians, they do not slaughter oxen, even in countries where other species of animals are indeed slaughtered. This was in order to efface the traces of these incorrect... It was in order to efface, that means to undermine, the traces of these incorrect opinions that we have been ordered by the law, meaning by the Torah, to offer sacrifices. Only these three species of quadrupeds, and this is the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, that's Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis. Does anybody have the Nusach HaPasuk case in the English? He says you should bring your offerings of oxen and small cattle. In this way, an action considered by them as an extreme action of disobedience, this becomes an action through which one comes near to God and seeks forgiveness for his sins. Thus, wrong opinions, which are the diseases of the human soul, are cured by their contrary, which is found in the other extreme, as dictated by the Torah. With a view to the same purpose, we have been commanded to slaughter the paschal lamb and to sprinkle its blood. This happens in Egypt, on the gates, on the doorposts, etc. So that we should manifest our rejection of these opinions and proclaim what is contrary to them. Bring forth a belief that the act which they deemed as a cause of destruction saves from destruction. And he quotes a pasuk here in Vayikra, I'm sorry, in Shmos, Perek Yudbeis Pasuk Chav Gimel, and the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in, meaning not tolerate the mashkas to come in to your houses. This is in recompense of their manifestation of obedience. This is the counter the obedience of the idol worshippers, to put an end to the absurd things done by these idolaters. This is the reason for the choice of these three species for sacrifices. Over and beyond the fact that these are domestic species that are numerous, meaning by slaughtering them we don't endanger the species, not as in the case, but more important, what we're doing it is not in the case of the cults of the idol worshippers, etc., etc. As most people are not able to offer a beast in sacrifice, it was commanded that birds too should be offered up in sacrifice, namely those among them that are most frequent in Syria and are most excellent and the easiest to catch, namely the turtle doves and young pigeons. He who is not able to offer up a sacrifice even of a bird may offer bread, baked bread, in one of the various manners known at that time, either baked in an oven, baked in a pan, baked in a frying pan. If baking was difficult for some reason, he could offer flour. Okay, this is based on a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Beis. All this was addressed to those who wished to offer sacrifices. Thus, scripture explains to us that in regard to this kind of divine service, sacrifices, no sin whatever will fall upon us if we do not perform it at all. So he says it's all going to be voluntary. I'm not sure exactly what he means by voluntary here, because there is what's called a chatos, which is a chiyuv. Inasmuch as the idolaters offered only leavened bread, and they made many offerings of sweet things and seasoned their sacrifices with honey, as is generally recognized in the books that I mentioned to you, those books, the historical books about idol worship, and thus no salt was to be found in any of their offerings, because they had to be sweet. Is therefore, the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to put honey or anything sweet in our circle, but only salt. So we're doing the exact opposite of what the idol worshippers do. So it's an amazing historical analysis, and putting the Torah into a perspective. Again, the Ramban is not going to be happy with this, because, if that be the case, then if we're not influenced by idol worshippers, why bother with korbanos? We have to find a more existential justification for korbanos. But the Rambam says he, meaning God, commanded us that all offerings be perfect, meaning tamim, in excellent condition, in order that the sacrifice should not come to be held in little esteem, and that which is offered in his name should be exalted and not despised. So he now explains why we need a karban tamim, a behemoth mima. And for this reason, it is also forbidden to sacrifice an animal that is not yet 7 days old, for it is deficient among those of its kind, because it's not yet strong or healthy, is considered disgusting to do that, or it resembles an abortion. This is also for the reason for the prohibition against offering up, this is Esnan Dog, Zon, the hire of a harlot or the price of a dog, because these are also considered vile. This is also the reason for sacrificing turtle doves, the young of pigeons, etc., etc. And he goes on and on. It's fascinating, because he dedicates pages upon pages to the laws of sacrifices, and he comes up with his own original explanation for each of these laws based on this very basic structure that, it's coming lafuki, as we would say, to exclude from idol worship. So I don't know, did I cover this whole paragraph? More or less? I went even further?
Yeah, you went further.
And then you have the Ramban here. The Ramban, which I also have to have in English here, if you can follow this, and then I'll let you go. The Ramban says, the Ola, which is the fire offering, that's the burnt offering, L'shem Ola. Do you have that in the Ramban? L'shem Ola. This means the sacrifice should be brought for the sake of a burnt offering. This will be an introduction for us, right? Yeah. Ishe, which means a fire offering, kishayishketenu yehishokto l'shem ha'esh. It should be slaughtered for the sake of being burnt on the fire. The kol isha, and whenever the term isha is used, lashon esh is related to the term fire. And then ichoach is nachas ruach lefano, shamarti v'nase ritzoni. Since I commanded you to bring this carbon, it becomes satisfying, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have fulfilled God's will. And then he says, but Rashi did not explain what is meant by the Chazal, who say that it should be slaughtered for the sake of the fire. Ubegemara amru lafuke kibava, which is to exclude kivava, that you should not have such an intent. Okay, so what's kivava? That we don't know. So they, meaning Chazal, and this is a statement in Pirkei in the Raivin, in the Sifra, they explain that this term kibava is meant that he should slaughter the animal for the purpose of putting it up on top of the fire, blazing in the arrangement of wood that is on the mizbeach. Lola loso al gabi gecholim, but not put it on top of smoldering coals on the altar that already are in the process of going out. Okay, but we didn't get to the punchline here about the Shitas Haramban.
He takes him to task.
He does? Is it there?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, I guess it. Yeah. All right, I see we ran out of time, so we'll stop here. And I don't know when we'll get a chance to finish this. Maybe I'll have to finish it on my own. But this opens up a whole new discussion about the meaning of karbanos, and especially in our time when the Mikdash will be rebuilt in Heruv Yemeinu. Amen.